الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, just a quick recap about what we studied last week. Last week we spoke about the meaning of the condition of La ilaha illallah, and the meaning we concluded with no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And we said this is the correct interpretation of the word La ilaha illallah. And we said it is incorrect to interpret it no creator exists except Allah. Even though the meaning is correct, that yani it is all right for you to say there is no creator except Allah. Of course, because there is no creator except Allah. But this is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And if you adopt that and you believe in that, of course, surely it necessitates that you already have believed that there is no creator, no controller, no owner, no sustainer to the world except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by you accepting that the only one worthy of worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you already have accepted that Allah is the Lord of the universe. Because the ultimate, we said, if every messenger, his duty was to call people to worship Allah, then the ultimate and the pinnacle of Tawheed is to direct all types of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand this point? طيب. And then we said, that La ilaha illallah is constructed from two pillars, negating and affirming. Negating all deities, that there is no ilah, and then we affirmed worthy of worship except Allah. So there is no ilah worthy of worship, and then we affirmed except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said, this is the best form of affirmation to the meaning. If I say, Hakan is the best student, I affirmed that or not? It is a way of affirming, yes? I affirmed that Hakan is the best student. But is there a possibility then that there is a student next to him as good as him or not? Is a possibility. I haven't eliminated the possibilities. True? But if I say there is no good student except Hakan, is there any other student next to Hakan? See, this is the concise and important meaning of La ilaha illallah in negating and affirming, to conclude that only Allah, with no room of possibility, worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah now? Why do we say it in such a way? طيب. Now, we studied last week the conditions of the Shahada. We said the first condition is ilm. The most important condition is ilm. The second condition is what? Acceptance, al-qabul. After you have the knowledge inside your heart, you accept La ilaha illallah. Then after al-qabul, what it is? Yaqeen. You believe in it with certainty. Today we want to move to the fourth condition of La ilaha illallah. But before I move, I want to pose for you a question, and I want the answer from you, my brothers. Now, in your notes, there is 9 conditions. Can they be 7? To say they are 7 or 8 or 9, is it a matter of ijtihad, or it is revealed in the Quran, it's 9 and then you can't change it? It can be, it depends according to the ijtihad of the ulama. Some ulama would say there is 7, some ulama would say are 9, and it depends on the ijtihad of the scholar, yes? Right. Now, the fourth condition, which is al-inqiyad, yes, which is submission and compliance. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to comply with Islam and what the shahada necessitates. Yani, this implies the actual physical enactment by deeds of one's shahada. This is one of the main meanings of the word Islam itself, submission to the will and commands of Allah. So this implies the actual physical enactment by deeds of one is shahada. So once someone says the shahada and he have the knowledge of it, yani he believed in it, has the knowledge of it, and he accepted it, al-qabul, and then he believed in it in certainty, and then he accepted it, now time comes to implement and practice what you've learned. To implement everything the shahada tells you to do. Yani, and this is the meaning, this condition is the meaning of Islam. To submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe that Allah is worthy, the only one worthy of worship. Now it is time to submit and to put the deeds and to direct them to only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, turn unto Him, repentant, and surrender unto Him. Surah Az-Zumar, verse 54. Allah also subhanahu wa ta'ala said, praising the one who submit to His command by their actions, He said, who is better in religion than he who surrenders his purpose to Allah while doing good? Surah An-Nisa, verse 125. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And also said, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ. So, who is the best in religion? And we have to just stop at this verse a little bit. When we say religion, I don't want you to think of just Islam and Christianity and Judaism. Even an atheist, he follows a religion. What is the religion he follows? No religion. Which is, you said no religion, but in reality he is following a religion. Which is the shaitan inspired into his head and he's implementing. Tayyib, what constitutes a religion? If we understand this point, we will understand a lot of issues are happening today. What constitutes a religion? What is a religion? Any religion. Two things. News, information that you learn, and deeds that you practice. Any religion today, let's take Christianity for example. What is the news or the information? Akhbar, we call them. Akhbar. Whatever it is written inside the New Testament, and some of them accept the Old Testament, or majority of them accept the Old Testament, yes? That is all news about who is Allah, who is Jesus to them, the hereafter, everything. And types of ibadah, they worship. They go on Sunday to the church, they go to the confession, and so on and so forth. Islam, there is akhbar that you receive. Allah tells you about Himself, tells you about the angels, tells you about the prophets, tells you about the hereafter, and then there is ibadah that you practice. So it's an ideology that you believe in, and practical elements or practical deeds or practical acts that you do in your life. Now, an atheist, does he believe? Of course. He believes there is no God, and the rules is do whatever you feel like because there is no God. Do we understand? So they still accepted something. They still believed in something. They believe there is no God. And no one can tell me what to do. So, يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. They enjoy and they eat like sheep do eat. As Allah said in Surah Muhammad. So that is the life. I enjoy my life and I eat and I sleep and I wake up in the morning. These are my rituals. That's what I do. And then they end up worshipping the shaitan without them knowing. Tayyib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is better in religion than the one who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The best of religion is when you submit to Allah, which is Islam. And He is telling you, who is better than you? Who is better than you? You sometimes belittle yourself and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, I'm ugly. But in reality, in the eye of Allah and in the sight of Allah, you are greater than the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Who is better than you if you really have submitted to Allah's will and you surrendered to Allah's will? Allah is saying it. Who's better than you? Who is better in religion than he who surrenders his purpose to Allah while doing good? What is doing good? Practicing Islam. Practicing Islam. Now, I want to move with you to the next verse, which is, I highlighted in red very important words. And I want you to understand, because this verse is stronger than the two verses that passed. And this verse constitute in reality Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. And this is one of the main dalils. So we need to spend the next 5 to 6 minutes, inshallah, trying to comprehend. And I tell you, my students in the college, when we study this topic, I tell them, remember every word I say about this verse, because it's going to be in your exam. All my students, they do get examined with this verse, because this verse sets the standard for you as a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and look how strong are the words of Allah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But nay, by your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you, the messenger of Allah, judge of what is in dispute between them and find within themselves no dislike of that which you decide and submit with full submission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, O Muhammad, they will not be believers. These people are never going to be a true believers until they make you, O Messenger of Allah, the judge. طيب. Is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam living amongst us today? He's dead. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What takes place now? His sunnah. Is his sunnah dead or still alive between us? This is one. Tayyib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does it include the Quran also here in this ayah or not? If it includes the sunnah, it must include Quran. So Allah is saying, by your Lord O Muhammad, these people, they will not become believers unless they will take you as a judge. And I tell you, my brothers, every time I read and I explain this verse, I get butterflies in my stomach. Honestly. Because it's such a strong verse, and if you do not follow it properly and you take the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran as a criterion and a judge in your life, listen to the verse what it says. Of what is in dispute between them. So in any matter that you dispute in, you need to take the Quran and sunnah as a judge. Tayyib, we took it as a judge. What's next? And find within themselves no dislike. Not only you accept the Quran and Sunnah as a judge, you should not have any dislike to the ruling of the Quran and Sunnah. You cannot say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided your inheritance according to the Sharia, and you find you got a smaller proportion, and especially these words are for my sisters, then you expected or you wanted, say, you know what? I don't like this. Then, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ. Then you haven't really believed it. So not only you have to take the Quran and Sunnah as a judge, you have to also accept it and find no dislike within yourself, of which you decided, and submit. Take Muhammad as a judge, the Quran and Sunnah as a judge, and find within yourself no dislike, and submit. Is it just submit? A normal submission? No. With full submission. Allahu Akbar. Look at the conditions that this verse put. Yani, not even within yourself, you can say, on your face you say, I accept it. Yani, you say it with your tongue, but you're in your heart, you're really not happy with it. And there is danger, the danger there, if one of the sisters said, I like Islam, but the issue of wearing hijab or polygamy or covering or doing, I'm not 100% sure about it. Now, not only you have to submit, no. With full submission. And the brother, the same thing. When the ruling comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, and he has to do and this and that, not only he has to submit to it and accept it, no. Full submission, even your heart and your soul and your the air that you breathe has to submit to the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Quran and Sunnah. Do we understand this? So this is a condition of the Shahada. I can keep talking more and more and giving examples. But in reality, yani, we don't have so much time. We need to understand that this verse has pointed out to four main conditions so you can be a real believer. The first one, yalla, you with me, brothers. Take Allah and His, the Quran and Sunnah, as judge. The second one, find no dislike within yourself. The third one, to submit. The fourth one, with full submission. So it is a very important verse. طيب. The fifth, as-sidq, truthfulness. Now, after you have submitted, now we're going to talk about how would you implement Islam? How do you submit to the shahada? Without this condition, then a person will become a hypocrite. Here it said, as opposed to hypocrisy. So, truthfulness as opposed to hypocrisy and dishonesty. This means that when one says the shahada, he is saying it honestly, actually meaning it. He's not lying when it comes to his testimony of faith or simply trying to deceive or fool anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one bears a testimony to their being, no one worthy of worship except Allah truthfully from his heart, except that Allah makes the hellfire forbidden for him. So you have to implement Islam with the truthfulness from your heart, from within your heart. You have to implement Islam. You have to be true about it. You cannot be just deceiving your parents or deceiving your wife or deceiving someone that you are a good person. It has to come from your heart with truthfulness. Otherwise, yes, wal'iyadu billah, hypocrisy. It become hypocrisy. Remember that in Medina, some of the people used to pray right behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of them used to go out in jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fight with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they were hypocrites because they haven't done it truthfully from their heart. And as you know, hypocrisy is divided into two types. The hypocrisy, which is al-i'tiqadi, which is related to aqidah, which is disbelieving in your heart, but believing with your limbs, yani practicing with your limbs, but your heart disbelieves in Islam. And this is major. And there is a hypocrisy, major kufr yani, and there is the hypocrisy which is amali, by deeds, by lying, or by, what is the hadith, what are the traits of hypocrisy? Yalla shabab. When they speak, he lies. Sorry? He betrays people. Akhlaf. If he promises, he doesn't keep to his promise. So these are, it does not make someone a kafir, but if someone combines all the traits of hypocrisy, wal'iyadu billah, then he become a full hypocrite, wal'iyadu billah. طيب, the sixth condition is purity, sincerity, ikhlas. When one declares the shahada, one must do that solely for the sake of Allah. One must not do it for any other reason or anyone else's sake. In this manner, the meaning of purity is the opposite of shirk, or ascribing partners with Allah. One becomes and remains Muslim solely to serve Allah, to avoid His anger and punishment, and to gain His mercy and reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. So worship Allah, sincere to Him in religion. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has forbidden the hellfire. Anyone who says that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and says desiring the face and the pleasure of Allah, and says so desiring the face and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is now, we're talking about something different than sidq. Yes? Truthfulness and sincerity are two different things. Truthfulness, you do it, you do the act truthfully. Sincerity, you direct it to Allah. Because once you understand the opposite of each, you understand the difference between them. What is the opposite of truthfulness? Hypocrisy. And what is the opposite of sincerity? Shirk. to the meaning. You do your salat. You do your salat. You stand for your salat. Now, normally, you pray like this, like the case of a lot of our brothers. When you start with the Fatiha, in one breath, you finish it. You're going like this. Now you hear your father coming through the door. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawmid. You don't want to get a backhander from father, you know. Pray properly. So this salat is correct or incorrect? It is correct. Because you have implemented the conditions and you have implemented the pillars. But do you get the full reward or proportion of the reward you seek with it? The sake of your father, proportion of it, you seek for it other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is minor or major shirk? Minor shirk. Because you're still directing the ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you turn all that the worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you turn the worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes major shirk wal'iyadu billah. Do we understand the difference between the two? The lesser shirk, when you direct the ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but some of it, not fully for the sake of Allah. It's like when you donate money and you show that you're trying to show the people that you are generous and a very good man. Once you do that, are you seeking the reward from Allah or from the people? From the people. To show off. But you're still seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with. That's why you gave the money. But you do not get the full reward. Mafhoom ya shabab? Good. The seventh condition, which is... Or before I move to the seventh condition, I just want to give an advice to my brothers that doing the ibadah in sincerity, my brothers, this is something you should think about before you do any deed. Yani, before you come to a lesson, are you coming to these lessons to please your friends or to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you doing it to please your father and your family, or are you doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Think about the act before you do it. Think about the act before you do it, whom you're directing it to. So you think of the deed before you do it. And do not let that also deter you. Yani, if your friend calls you, you said, okay, let's go to a lecture. Don't say, oh, if I go with him now, I'm not sincere. Not reality, no. You go. And then you renew your intention. And you make it for Allah's sake. Inshallah, Allah will accept the deed. Now, the seventh condition, and it is a very important condition, because that relates to a very important topic in Islam, which is al-wala wal-bara. Which is al-wala wal-bara. This condition and the following one are very important conditions when it comes to issues of wala and bara. Al-mahabba, love. Here he said, that is, the believer loves the shahada. He loves in accordance with the shahada. He loves the implications and requirements of the shahada. And he loves those who act and strive based on this shahada. This is a necessary condition of the shahada. If a person makes the shahada but does not love the shahada and what it stands for, then in fact his faith not complete. It is not the faith of a true believer if he has no love for this shahada, or if he actually feels hatred for it, he has negated his shahada. A true believer puts no one as equal to Allah in love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Yet of mankind are some who take unto themselves object of worship, which they set as rivals to Allah, loving them with the love like that which is due to Allah only. However, those who believe are stauncher in their love of Allah. Now, my brothers, Al-Mahabba, what it means. First, you have to love the Shahada. You love that word, La ilaha illallah. It is your source of pride. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. And to Allah, the all-complete glory. Al-Izzah. La ilaha illallah is your source of glory. So you love it. And you cling to it. And you adore it inside your heart. and you make it show on your acts and on your deeds, and you propagate it. Now, also, you love and you take allies whomever says La ilaha illallah and follows the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whomever truly says La ilaha illallah, because there's a lot of people who say La ilaha illallah, but they are enemies of La ilaha illallah. Who truly says La ilaha illallah is your ally. You love him. And what hurts him hurts you. And what angers him angers you. And you become one body with them. You become part of them and they become part of you. Why? Because you both meet and both have one thing in common, which is loving that beautiful word, La ilaha illallah. So loving the ones who follow La ilaha illallah and the ones who says La ilaha illallah is a condition of La ilaha illallah. You have to love also the obligations of La ilaha illallah. You have to love the salat. You have to love Yawmul Jumu'ah. When before the Jumu'ah comes, get excited. Tomorrow is Jumu'ah. I'll iron my best clothes. I'm going to see my brothers. I'm going to meet with my brothers. I'm going to spend some time with my brothers. I am going to pray in congregation with my brothers. We're going all to meet. And you do it from love, from your heart. Because that is what La ilaha illallah means. It's part of your wala. Also, what opposes to it is the hate. The hate. Yes, if someone hates La ilaha illallah, then you hate him because he hates La ilaha illallah. And you'd not take him as an ally because he's not under the shade of La ilaha illallah. Understand this. This is a crucial, important point in the meaning of La ilaha illallah, where you need to love La ilaha illallah. You need to love the obligations of La ilaha illallah. You love La ilaha illallah and Ramadan is coming. You love Ramadan. And you prepare yourself for Ramadan. You love La ilaha illallah, you wait for Hajj. You love La ilaha illallah, you would love to see it ruling the world. That's what you need to keep in the back of your head. Loving La ilaha illallah is not something simple. We will see that we all really claim. But we really need to start to implement the love of La ilaha illallah. And the love of the ones who say La ilaha illallah, and the love of the deeds that La ilaha illallah wanted us and obligated us to do and to perform. طيب. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith here, whoever has three characteristics has tasted the sweetness of faith. The first of these is that he loves Allah and His Messenger more than he loves anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be first and foremost in your life. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as the verse said, from amongst the people who takes co-equals in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they love Him as much as they love Allah. And don't be shocked, because we could be all of us, or some of us, or a few of us, who falls into this every day, but without us knowing or recognizing. We could be falling into this issue where we take our businesses equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take our homes and our interests and our riba and our cars and our friends equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When their orders become the equal to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't realize it. But you really have fallen into it without you knowing and without you noticing and without you realizing. What is the best way out of it? Very simple, my brothers. The best way out of it so you do not fall into it? Very simple. When Allah orders an order and your nafs or the family or work or whatever it is gives you another order, you take the two orders. Which one I prefer? Which one I should give priority in my life? Which one I love more? Then you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you are successful. You love your wife. You love the children. And you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is more important? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the companions knew this meaning, nothing stopped. Yes. Within 20 years, they were all over the world giving da'wah. Well, they were all over the world, yes, propagating Islam. They understood this meaning. That's why in Mecca, what was the great test in Mecca? Yes, is to follow and migrate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And migration was an issue of iman to them. A woman would travel by herself. And if you've been to Hajj, and you traveled to Hajj, and you caught a bus from Mecca to Medina or from Medina to Mecca, you're in a bus, after 4 hours, you see the brothers who you used to see in Sydney, big, tough boys, great boys. You think, mashallah, this guy, if he were to punch a palm tree, it will crack. He will pull a palm tree with his teeth. In the bus, if the air conditioning stopped working, he'll start whining like a 4-year-old girl. He start whining like babies. And remember, women by themselves walked the distance in love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in love of Allah and in love of the Messenger of Allah and in love of Islam. Women by themselves, one woman. All throughout this desert, you are in a bus and they give you water and Zamzam water and stops on the way, they feed you croissant and all this and dates, and you're still complaining. It's not like you don't complain, you just keep it in your heart. No, you complain and you make our life miserable. But the issue here, a woman by herself, she walked it on her with her bare feet, and you complain. That is the love of Allah, that is the love of Messenger, that is the love of Islam, that is the love that is missing in our life. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you would never taste the sweetness of iman unless Allah and His Messenger become most beloved things in your life. They are the most beloved to you in your life. When you are prepared to abandon everything for them, for their sake, for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of your religion, and following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this is when you really taste the sweetness of iman. Condition number 8. The person who makes the shahada must deny every other object of worship. Also, this to do with wala and bara. We learned the love is to take allies. Now, who do you deny and you free yourself from? Here he said, although that is clear in the words of the testimony of faith, it does not seem clear to everyone who makes that testimony. Therefore, it needs to be mentioned explicitly. So here we are saying that it is clear in the condition, in the shahada, without adding this condition, that la ilaha illallah means to deny every false deity, to deny every false deity that is worshipped beside Allah. But it seems it is not clear to a lot of people. That's why we have to add it to make it clear to people. Yani even so, with all the conditions, all these conditions were clear to the to the companions and to their students and to the great scholars. But with time, people, because of the lack of knowledge, they need to be reminded with this condition. Here, an important condition, which is to disbelieve and to deny the taghut. Here he said, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah reminds Muslims of this important aspect of the shahada. The shahada is not merely an affirmation, but it is both an affirmation and a negation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, see, we said the shahada, what is the first part? La ilaha, negation. La ilaha, negation. No deity worthy of worship. So the first part was what? Negation. So you are denying every false deity, yes? Because there's only one true deity. It is whom? Allah. So you're denying everything else because everything else beside Allah is false, yes? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and look at the denying and negating in this verse. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَمْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. And he who rejects false deities and believes in Allah has grasped a firm handhold which will never break. Which is the first part of the verse. And he who rejects false deities. So what do? You negate all the false deities. طيب, what is taghut? What is the word taghut? The word taghut comes from the word tagha. Tagha is to exceed the limit. Anything you exceed the limit with. Here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, the taghut is anything or anyone whose limit is exceeded by a person with a worship followed or obeyed. Again, the taghut is anything or anyone whose limit is exceeded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the limit of how much you love your parents. And the verse is clear that if your parents, they would strive, yani jahadat, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against you, or strive to make you to take associate beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. Yani if your parents are pushing you to worship something beside Allah or take someone as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to abandon any of the pillars of Islam or any of the acts of worship, and they strive against you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word jihadak, so they strive, they could do jihad against you with their, you know, with their arm and with their fist, or taking away the money they give you, or they could kick you out of the house. They do not want you to follow Islam. Now, if you say yes, you exceeded the limit, and then you turn them into taghut. You exceeded the limit in obeying them. You have exceeded the limits in obeying them. And this is what Allah is warning you. He said, yes, وَعَاشِرْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Where is the verse says? مَعْرُوفًا. But live with them. Even if they struggle against you, and they push you, and they incite you to do shirk وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, you still live with them in a nice manner. Some of the brothers, if his father tells him, shave your beard, he will start a war. No, don't shave your beard, but live with them in a nice manner. Live with them in a nice manner. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, even if they incite you and they push you to do shirk, you cannot be harsh on them. You have to be still soft on them. So, exceeding the limit. Exceeding the limit in obeying someone or following someone. Some people are blind. They just want to follow a person without questioning anything. Just complete blind following. And some of them would say, if my tribe reject Islam, I would reject Islam. This is what, iyadhu billah, following them is not disbelieving in taghut. Because then they become taghut. Same thing, to obey someone. If someone says to you, drink alcohol, and you drink, then you haven't disbelieved in taghut. You exceeded the limit in the obedience of that person. If someone is ruling in the other rule of Islam, he's a taghut. If someone is ruling, if a ruler rules with other than the rule of Islam, you have to disbelieve in it, because it's a taghut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it clearly, as he said, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, negating. وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah, affirmation, yes? See, this is the shahada in this verse. It is the shahada in this verse, that you disbelieve, you empty your heart first, and then you pour in it al-iman billah. Remember when we spoke in a previous lesson, we said your heart is like a cup. You fill it with kufr wal-iyadhu billah and disobedience, iman coming into your heart will find no room to sit in it. You have to empty it by disbelieving in all the false deities, by saying la ilaha, and you say illallah. You fill it up with iman. You fill it up with iman. The next and the last condition of the shahada is that the Muslim adheres to the shahada until he dies. This is a must if the shahada is to mean anything in the hereafter. One cannot rest on what he may have done in the past. No, indeed, the shahada must be his banner until death. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O believers, observe your duty to Allah with right observance and die not except as a Muslim. And die not except as a Muslim, surrendering yourselves to Allah. So what does this mean? Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you that you live your life according to la ilaha illallah. But the verse says, make sure that you do not die except as a Muslim. Taib, how can I be sure that I am going to die as a Muslim if everything is in the qada and qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the knowledge of Allah? How can I make sure that I die as a Muslim? The verse, it is in its meaning, it is saying to you that implement Islam in your life. Implement the shahada in your life. Make it your ultimate goal in your life. Put it in front and between your eyes. and make it something that you propagate to the people. By this, you are making sure you do not die except on the state of Islam. Because if you would live to your life on La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will affirm you in the hereafter and on your deathbed on La ilaha illallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you've been righteous all your life, and practicing Islam all your life, and your ultimate worry is Islam, then surely Allah will never let you down. And Allah, yes, will affirm you on the word La ilaha illallah in your life. But what about the hadith, when to the meaning, it says that a person will do the act of the people of paradise all his life, and before his death, he will do the act of the people of the hellfire, and he dies on that. And another people who do the act of the people of fire and the people of Jahannam, and before his death, he'll do the act of the people of the Jannah and paradise, and he will die on that. The ulama, they said about this hadith, that in reality, the person who lived his life under Islam and under the banner of Islam, it's either he's not sincere with his Islam, and that's why he'll die on kufr wal-iyadhu billah, or towards the end of his life, he relaxes and he does things contrary to Islam, and then he will die on kufr wal-iyadhu billah. I'll give you a practical example. Like, for example, a person living according to Islam. You see him, mashallah, the first row in the masjid. Jum'ah, the first row. The business is halal. Everything is halal. He gets diagnosed by cancer. He's going to die. The doctors give him 2 to 3 weeks. He calls the kids, Yaki, my kids come. Their kids will come. He says, I've got this 2 houses, and I have 2 boys and a girl. Ahmed would take 1 house. Muhammad would take 1 house, and Karima would take 1 house. And he dies. Did he die according to the Sharia of Islam or not? Why? Because it's supposed to be divided according to the Sharia, where the male get twice as the female. And this is not the case all the time, so some of the sisters would think, oh, it is unfair. No, because in some cases, the women get more, and it depends on the case, whether she's a mother or a sister, or there's a brothers or uncle, or yani, it's a different field. We don't want to get into it now. A person who does this, he made sure that he did not die according to what Allah wants him to die on. And he did not make sure he would follow the Sharia to the last breath in his life. And this happens a lot. Or he lived his life, and he's got brothers, his own brothers, blood brothers, who would inherit from him. And because he had a fight with his brother, or he had a fight with his son, he collect all his sons. He said, divide my inheritance between you. Do not give your brother khadr, because he didn't obey me all his life. Then what did he do? Did he die according to the Sharia of Islam or not? No. Because Allah specifically said in the verses of inheritance, your children, you do not know who is good to you. Some children are only good to their parents because the parents have a big account. And if these parents didn't have the big account, they're not good to them. So you have to remember, only Allah knows the heart, who is best. Because you could die, and that son who was rebellious, he will be the only son who will make dua for you. He grow up and he feels sorry for what he's done. And because he feels sorry, he wants to repent, he'll be day and night making dua for you as his father. And your own son, who you thought he was good, then wal-iyadhu billah, he is the one who then he changes and he curses you. And he makes dua against you maybe. So only Allah knows who is the best child out of your children. That is one of the tafsir of this hadith. Yani the ulama gave the tafsir of this hadith. But what we need to remember, my brothers, that to die on La ilaha illallah, to make sure that you're going to die on La ilaha illallah, is really one of the conditions of La ilaha illallah. And the only way you can make sure you die on La ilaha illallah is by adhering fully to La ilaha illallah. And not only that, propagating La ilaha illallah. Make da'wah part of your life. Have something in your week, in your day, in your month for da'wah for the sake of Allah. To call to people to tawheed. Because da'wah, my brothers, motivates you to stay on Islam. How many of us, we get some moments, if we are involved in da'wah, we are weak in our iman, because we're all human. Yes, we're all human. Our iman, we're all humans. Our iman becomes weak at times. Your iman becomes weak. But if you are involved in da'wah, you look at yourself in the mirror and say, no, I can't do this. I tell people to do good, so I must do good. You encourage yourself, the da'wah encourages you to stay in line and stay in tune. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك إن شاء الله. Next week we'll have a long session of Muhammad Rasulullah. We'll get the conditions of Muhammad Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. جزاكم الله خير. And if you have any questions, inshallah, we will take them.